Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
There's an idea that takes root in some women, and sometimes their husbands, that mothers don't have sex. This isn't just during the six-week physical recovery period after birth. It becomes hardly ever. And this can be a belief system, but a lot of it is due to habit. Because anyone who has dealt with a newborn knows that your priorities become eating, sleeping, and grabbing a shower whenever you can. Romance, even a quickie, takes a back seat. But if you buy into the commonly accepted fact that it takes 60 to 90 days for a behavior to become a habit, it's surprising that any parents manage to remain loving partners. But that is the gift your children really want from you, to protect your marriage. So how, when you're chronically sleep-deprived, still carrying the baby weight and smell of spit-up and dirty diapers, can you take off your mom hat and enthusiastically put your wife one on? So to help answer this question, I'm joined by writer and relatively new mom, Hannah Sutherland. Hannah, thank you so much for being on the show and talking about this really, really, really important topic.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I found you because you recently wrote a piece called 10 Tips for New Moms to Help You Feel Like a Wife Again, Even During the Newborn Months, which I love. But before we get to some of the suggestions that you made, I wanted to go to the very last one that you talk about, which I think is a really difficult one today, and that's to be a wife first. And in our child-centered society, what makes this so important?
Well, it's so important because, like, in a lot of cases, you know, you are a wife first, and then the little ones come along, and then that is, I mean, important. Like, that family structure is important, and to protect your marriage is to protect your family, and it is so hard because the little ones do need so much, but
yes, little demanding creatures they are.
Yes, it is so vital in the success, you know, of your marriage to try. I mean, just little things, I think we'll get to it later, you know, every day that, you know, you're not just consumed with the motherhood portion of your new life.
But I think it's really hard because now my listeners know both my kids are now, I tell people I don't have children anymore, I have adults. And, you know, and it's so hard because we're constantly being told, oh, you have to do this for your kids, you have to do this, you have to have them in sports, you have to have them in this, if they're never going to get into a good school, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's like on and on.
Yeah.
And it's all about the kids. And also, oh, and here's a big one, that the kids are never supposed to be hurt or disappointed.
Right.
Which, you know, and by the way, when they're little, they do require attention and time. So, you know, it really, really is a difficult thing. And I know that there's a lot of people, women especially. Now, I'm not quite sure if I just don't have the guilt gene. I don't, maybe I wasn't there when they passed that gene out, about feeling guilty if I wasn't spending every moment with my kids. Do you see that? I know that you write about moms and stuff, and in the comments that you get back, do you see that struggle?
Yeah, I mean, because there is mom guilt because we do, you know, look around at other moms and, oh, you know, they're at every parent-teacher thing, they're classroom moms, they're, you know, running the home daycares, they're doing crafts and, you know, all this. And so we're like, we're not doing that much. Like, I'm not doing that much. Like, oh, great, my kids are going to end up, you know, so screwed up. We're going to be in therapy for them and all this stuff. And it's like, kids are so resilient. They do not need as much as we think that they need. Like, as long as we have the foundational, you know, home boundaries and, like, loving home, like, kids do not need as much as we put on them to need. And I think that is sort of setting our kids up for failure because we do tell them, you are, you know, going to be the center of our world. And then when they get into the real world, they're like, what do you mean? I'm not. Like, yes. I'm not the center of everyone's world. And it's like having them experience disappointment or, you know, different things like that, that the world will throw at them while they're still in our home, I think it's so important, because then we can walk with them and be like, yeah, you know, life isn't fair. It's tough, but you're a strong kid. We've raised you to be, you know, a strong man, a strong woman. Like, you can get out there and you can still, you know, do your thing and not be, you know, just devastated when they realize these harsh truths about the actual world.
Right. And sometimes it's the way that my philosophy is that I want them to experience a little bit of disappointment, whatever, when they're still safely in the home environment and we can
right.
talk about it and they're supported. And it's not like, you know, they go out on their own and then they don't understand, like you said, why they're not the center of the universe.
Exactly.
And I think it's really important because you said something that's really absolutely accurate and not well accepted, I think, is that kids mm-hmm. don't need us to be involved with them all the time.
No.
That I think that's more about us than it is about them. Now, of course, if we're willing to sit and play with them for hours, they're going to let us.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But they don't need us to do that. And part mm-hmm. of this is you know, go figure out what you need to do. Go entertain yourself. Go.
You know. Yes.
But it's yes. really funny because I do remember when my daughter was little. She was probably 2 or 3 when she started this. And anytime my husband and I would be hugging, like in the kitchen or whatever, she would literally put herself in between us. And like,
right.
no, you get out from in between us. It's like,
right.
you know. And it's, you know, I mean, and you see this, you know, with moms who will stay with their kids, you know, until they fall asleep, and then the moms end up falling asleep in the kids' rooms, or,
yeah.
you know, the kids are allowed to sleep in the parents' bed, and, you know, these things just become habit, and they don't realize the
yeah.
damage that's being done.
Right, and that's so hard. I mean, that was something that I had decided early on we were not going to do with co-sleeping or, you know, ending up in their room.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of the hardest things that we had to stick to because you are so exhausted and they do sleep obviously so much better with you, or like in the middle of the night, you're feeding them bottles and they fall asleep and you're like, I literally am just going to fall asleep right, you know, right here. But I literally had to do, you know, anything I could to make sure I was still awake and took them back and put them in their cribs. And now we have 2 little toddlers that do sleep in their beds all night. And, you know, we have a pretty strict bedtime routine because that was the time I wanted to protect with my husband. And it is so hard. Like, I get it. Moms would be like, I don't know how you do it. You know, this is just what works. And I know, but that was something we really tried to not do because I just never knew, like, well, if you start it, then when do you end it type of thing. And I was like, I always try to think, like, what will this habit look like in 5 or 10 years?
Exactly.
And if I don't want to break it then when they're a teenager and I've got to start telling them no then, like, I, you know, we need to figure it out now while they're still young.
Yeah, I was reading.
So that's definitely helpful when it comes to, you know, the marriage part is still having a time, like, you know, I always kind of say, like, I'm a really good mom from 8 in the morning until 8 at night. And even though you're still a mom in the night, it's like at 8 o'clock, I want to be not touched by children anymore. I want to go take a bath. I want to be, you know, kind of debrief after my long day and then be able to still have something left for my husband because, you know, he works hard too. And, like, that's how we connect. So.
Right. And that brings
but
us.
It's just hard.
That brings us to, because you say this, and in the first 2 tips that you give in your article, they're so incredibly important, and I think people understand this on a somewhat on a cognitive level, but they don't really get it. To realize, the first one is realize early on that this transformation to being a parent is going to be tough, and then the second one goes right along through that. Talk through the expectations you have of one another as parents, which I think kind of goes along to that decision of, okay, we don't want to get into a habit of having the kids in bed with us or us in bed with the kids. And, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where in anybody who's never gone through labor, they realize it's hard, but until you're in it, you don't realize, oh, this is what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think people get the idea that this transition, it's a big transition, but many parents are completely unprepared for the reality of it. So how can couples do this before the baby comes? Because that's actually the best time to do it, because once the baby comes, you're sleep deprived and trying to have a coherent conversation is almost impossible. So what are some things that you would advise couples to do?
So one thing would be, if you're not around young, like if you're dating or engaged or even recently married without kids, and you're not around a bunch of families with young kids or anything like that, I would recommend, like, I don't know, small groups at church or, you know, any family or just friends, like, spend some time with other people and their kids and just kind of observe, like, not judging, but, you know, wow, what are they doing that's, like, working awesome? Or what are some things that, like, wouldn't work for us? And things like that, and then talk about that. And also, what worked in your family? You know, like, you were obviously a child. What did mom do in the home? What did dad do? Were they not even together? Or, you know, things like that. And so when you're married and you suddenly have a new baby and he expects you to be the one to get up every single feeding and you thought he was going to help, now we're not fighting about that when we are sleep deprived and emotional and not making a ton of sense all the time. But we're talking about it beforehand and we can be like, this is where, you know, we're going to meet in the middle or whatever the case is. But just talking about it, and I think a lot of times women, they're like, oh, he's going to be like the best husband, and like I think we do think about them being dads, if that's a thing we have, like if we want to have children, we do try to look at that, but I think a lot of times we assume because we think they'll be a great husband, they'll be a great dad, and sometimes there are a couple traits that you need to be a dad that, you know, you just look at, well, he'll be a great husband, well, yeah, but how selfless is he actually going to be, like how often does he want to go out with the guys and you don't think that's, you know, necessary? And are you going to fight about that later on? Because when you have a newborn and he's tired and he's like, well, I deserve to go out. And you're like, well, and especially stay at home moms. And you're like, I expect you to come home. You know, those are just little things that turn into really big things. And then they, you know, you get resentful and bitter, and those are not things you want to have in your marriage.
And it's like anything else. You have to talk about this, because I remember early on, my husband and I were visiting a friend of mine, and she'd had a newborn, and we had gone out to, she and I and one of the other people that was with us, one of the women that was with us, went out to pick up lunch. And when we came home, I could smell the baby before I walked in the house. And as soon as she walked in the house, her husband handed her the baby to change the diaper out. And I looked at my husband and I said, no. It's like, there's an expectation that you will be on diaper duty as well.
Right. Yes. That's,
you know, and then there was another time where a woman said, you know, oh, both of you have to get up in the night when the baby gets up. Well, it's like, I was breastfeeding. So it's like, okay, why do I want to wake him up? He can't do anything.
Right.
So I was like, what? So you have to figure out what your life is going to look like. And it's really hard because on some cases you don't really know. So I like the suggestion about talking or, you know, being around other people. But we also have to be careful that sometimes when we do fall into the judgment thing about, oh, when I'm a parent, I'm never going to do that. And you're kind of going, hang on a sec.
Yes, and then we just laugh now, like, oh, boy. I thought I knew so many things.
Although my husband did, he did, you know, one of the things that drove him crazy was when we would be out at not just a family restaurant, but maybe a nicer restaurant or at the movies or someplace, and there was somebody who had a kid that was crying. And, you know, we can't stop children from crying. I mean, they're going to cry. And so he just said, if that ever happens with our kids, I'm just going to get up and take them outside. And that's what he did.
Yes.
Because he knew how much he disliked that
right.
when we were out. So it's things to be paying attention to. And, you know, as wonderful as these little bundles of joy are, they don't come with any more time when they show up. And so really talking about, one of the things I think is important is to talk about what happens inside the household as well, because sometimes you got to let stuff go.
Yeah.
You know, because you just can't get it all done. And so I think it's really important to have those conversations. So this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking today with writer and relatively new mom, Hannah Southerland, about the importance of staying a wife once you are a mother. And the truth is, marital satisfaction takes a hit during the child-rearing years. It's a challenging time, but it can also be made easier. So if you want your marriage to thrive during these years, and they last, you know, 18 years per child, mm-hmm. I invite you to find out how. I invite you to give me a call or send me an email and take advantage of my free, no obligation, Create Your Happily Ever After Marriage Strategy Session. You can call me at area code 919-924-0463, again, 919-924-0463, or shoot me an email at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's F-O-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N-S, coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie.com. And so I want to get back to this conversation about tips to how to be a wife while you're a mom. And so, Hannah, several of the suggestions you make are about self-care. And, you know, I remember when my mom, watching my mom, and she was like always, the only thing that I knew she did for herself was she went and got her hair done every Friday. But other mm-hmm. than that, she didn't do a lot for herself. And so what are some of the suggestions that you have, and why are they so important?
Well, they're important because, you know, the old saying, when you feel good or when you look good, you feel good or something like that, you know, and it is so hard on the day-to-day. I had both of my babies in the dead of winter, and I'm in Michigan, and so it's long up here, and it is lonely, and no one can really go anywhere all the time because of the roads, and it's cold, and you don't want to do anything, and you just, you know, those were some hard times at the beginning because you're with this new baby. You're not never been a mom the first time, and it's like I didn't know I would feel all these things at once. Like you're at like the happiest you've ever been. You're the loneliest you've ever been. You're the most exhausted you've ever been normally. So I just got into a really bad place of just, you know, crying all the time, and I don't know that I necessarily had like actual postpartum, but I definitely had the baby blues, and you don't want it. I mean, I wasn't eating great. We didn't have a lot of money. I mean, we still don't have a lot of money, but we didn't have money for me to just jet off to Jamaica for a quick girls trip to get some sun.
Right.
It was like, so a couple things that I've done is I love to read. I mean, I love to write, but I love to read too. So even, you know, picking up a new book that you're really, you know, interested in, or there would be some days that were especially bad and you wouldn't see the sun for a couple days in a row. And I'm like, I can't sit in this house in the dark anymore. And so my husband would come home and he would take over. And I still sometimes do this. I will go walk around like the grocery store or, you know, the mall or something with a lot of people and a lot of light, because it's like,
just to get out.
I don't know. Even if you're not going to buy anything, just going and looking at things. I mean, Target, you just go and look at things you don't get to see anymore because you're literally running in and running out because of meltdowns
right.
that could possibly happen at any moment. And so doing things like that, or if you enjoy candles, you know, buying a new candle that you can light, and just little things that aren't super expensive, but that still, you know, feed your soul in a way that isn't, you know, burp rags and laundry.
And you made an important point about still getting together with friends.
Yeah.
Getting out and, you know, doing girls' night or girls'
yeah.
afternoon or girls' whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And remember that you're
so
an
important.
Individual.
It's And it's funny, too, because I've got a couple different friend groups right now because I'm sort of in this weird phase of life where I have a group of friends that aren't married and I have a group of friends that are married with kids. So it doesn't really matter which one I hang out with. I still have a good time. But, you know, the hanging out with the mom friends is a little bit different because we can't always get away from our kids all at the same time.
Right.
But, you know, my husband's very good about if I say, oh, hey, I want to go to dinner with, you know, one of my friends, he's like, okay, like, no problem. And he lets me go, or he'll say, because I have two toddler boys, so he'll be like, we're having a boys' night, and mom's not allowed. And so I get to leave the house and just basically, like I said, maybe wander Target, or maybe I will have some great elaborate plans. But either way, I know, like, he's got it. The boys love, I mean, it's like wrestle time, so they don't
And you don't want to be there anyway to know what they're doing. It's like, oh, my gosh.
I know. You may come home and the whole thing's gone crazy, but it's just nice to be able to go out, have girl time, talk, I mean, literally about whatever you wanted, as long as you're not having to, like, wrangle anybody around.
Well, and you made some suggestions about, you know, eating well, which I think is really important. And, you know, I mean, I know people are sleep deprived, and I remember when my son was born, I remember when he would take a nap, I remember literally having the thought, do I sleep, do I eat, or do I take a shower?
You're right.
And I remember telling my husband, you cannot leave the house every day until I've taken a shower, because then I felt human.
Yes.
But what do you say to women, because I hear this all the time from husbands, they say, I want her to go out. I want her to do something. I want her to be able to take care of herself. And the wives just won't. What, is there something that you can recommend to the moms to say, it's okay, and by the way, this will help?
Yes. I mean, I, like you, I didn't have a super heavy, like, guilt, anything like that, because I was like, I was normally ready to go. And I think maybe working moms may have a harder time because they feel bad that they've already, like, well, I've been gone, I want to spend time with my child now. But, you were working, so that's not necessarily just, like, a free-for-all. So I think it is important to still have some time for yourself. It doesn't have to be every week if that's not what you need, but you do need to go. And even grocery shopping by yourself for a little bit is good. And I know a lot of moms, you know, oh, well, my husband can't handle the kids
by
themselves. And
yes,
that's
he can.
What I say. I mean, you married him, so you must have known he was an intelligent human being. And if not, like, that's where the extra talking about that beforehand needs to happen, because there are going to be times when you're going to want to go out, or maybe even, heaven forbid, on a girls' weekend trip or something like that, and he's going to need to step up and be there. So
Recognize that he does it his own way, because that's the other thing that gets, I think, a lot of moms into trouble.
Right.
Like, it's not that he can't take care of the kids, because of course he can take care of the kids. He just doesn't do it in exactly the same way you do, which can be a bone of contention.
Right, and it's funny because we, as moms, we think, oh, well, we know, we're the mom and all this. And for the most part, yeah, but there are some things that my husband has taught me about parenting, because we do have our own unique ways of doing it. And if it wasn't for his personality, you know, I'm more of like a type A personality. And like, you have to realize some of that stuff does not matter. You know, it doesn't always matter if everything is going the certain order, or if the bottle is, I don't know, just things like that you could really get hung up about. It doesn't really matter. The kid's still getting fed, they're happy, and they're changed. Like,
I always tell people, it's like, if the diaper is on the correct end of the baby and, you know, the head's out of the water during the bath time, they're doing it okay. It's like, stop.
Right. All
so,
of that other
so they wash the baby before they shampoo their hair. It's not a big deal.
No, it's not. But you think it is because, like we've said, you know, we read all this stuff about the certain way and we try to follow it to a T, and that's just not possible. And you're going to figure out your own way of doing it. But making sure you and your husband are on the same page, but that he is capable of taking care of them, just go.
Yes.
Literally, that's my only advice, is leave them and go and don't think about it.
Right.
I mean, my kids went through the separation anxiety phase, and not necessarily with my husband But, like, with sitters or grandparents, they mm-hmm. did not really care for anyone but me or my husband. And that was really, really hard. And there were a lot of times I'd be crying mm-hmm. and being like, maybe we shouldn't go. And it would only be to, like, dinner, you know, like an hour and a half. We weren't talking a week trip. But you do feel bad. You feel bad for the sitter because you're not sure that this child is ever going to stop crying. And then you feel bad for your kid and, like, oh, my word, they're going to resent me for the rest of their life. And my husband would... We finally got into a routine while during those phases, he would be the one to go in and drop them off, and then I wouldn't have to listen to them cry. Well, it might sound weak, but literally, as a mom, you're like, I am going to die. Like, I'm going to die right here. These children need me, and here I am just thinking I need to go to dinner.
Uh-huh.
But they live through it, and most of the time they settle down within a couple minutes. They just know that they can cry.
Well, and that's so funny that you mentioned that, because when we moved across the country when my son was 18 months old, so we actually brought him across the country and left him with his grandparents, and then we went back and came back across the country. And so I'm driving out of the driveway. He's standing in the driveway with his grandpa just wailing. And I get on a plane to go across the country. This is what I've left. And so I'm like, I'm in this absolute panic because my husband had already gone back across the country to get everything ready to go. And so apparently my father-in-law had called my husband, and my son had only cried for 5 minutes. And I'm like beating myself up, you know, for hours.
Right, right.
It's like, and he basically, you know, basically according to my father-in-law, as soon as he couldn't see the car anymore, he was fine. I'm like going, oh, my
exactly.
God.
They are thinkers. They know that they can play to our emotions. And then they're like, oh, okay, she's really not coming back. I'm good to go. And, like,
right.
they end up having a great time. But it is so hard. So if that is, like, a mom's reality, just still go. Even
right.
if it's
well,
a little bit, it'll be fine.
They need to. And this is something else that you mentioned in these tips, which are really – And I left them for last because I want people to take this away with them. You recommend, and I do this all the time, intentional dating, communication, which, by the way, that means not fighting, that means talking. And you also talk about giving grace freely, which I love. And these are all these tips are focused on keeping the connection with your partner. And so, you know, we've talked about getting out of the house both as an individual and now talking about intentional dating, that it's really okay to go to dinner even though your child doesn't want you to leave. But what about some of these things about communication, and can you define giving grace? Because I love the way you talked about that.
Well, the giving grace part is just you never realize how much you don't know until you have a child. And you think you know, and you may have read everything, and you may have done, you know, what I had said about spending time with other families with kids and think you know what you're going to do, and there are still curveballs your child is going to throw at you for the rest of their life, and
yes.
you're going to be like, wow, this is so humbling. I am not as awesome as I thought I was. So there's nothing more than, like, you knowing that, you know, there are times I make decisions that are, I think, oh, we'll be fine. We're just going to run in and grab, you know, milk, and then we have a complete meltdown, and I'm like, oh, why did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And even though that's a silly one, it's still like, okay, it's okay. We'll move on. But if my husband were to do something like that, it'd be so easy for me, like, I told you. You know, I told you it was nap time. Why didn't you take them? Or, you know, anything silly like that. Or, I mean, if your child's sick, that's a huge one where it's like you think they're fine and they're saying, no, I really don't feel good, then they're throwing up at school or whatever, and you're
mm-hmm.
like, oh, my word. And so anything like that where to yourself you'd be like, oh, you know, you'd beat yourself up for a while, and then you'd be like, okay, well, I can't do anything about it. Like, you need to also extend that to your husband. He is doing the best he can, and he is learning just like you, and he doesn't even have the mothering instinct in him, you know, and he's doing a great job. So it's okay if he, like we said, he doesn't do everything the way that you would have him do it. If he's trying and he might flub up a couple times, it's okay. And we need to kind of just be like, okay, what can we do different next time? Or, you know, did
right because
go back to the drawing board and then start over.
Yeah, there is no such thing as a perfect parent. There's not a perfect
no.
mom. There's not a perfect dad. Because like you said, we've never done this before. And here's the thing, and especially if you have more than one child, you think you've got it down because it worked with child number one. Guess what? Child number two is a whole different ball game. And you've And you've got, it's like, wait, this worked with the first one.
I said that just the other day. I'm like, if we would have just had this one, I would have thought we had made it. Like, and I'm like, my second one came along, and he is a different animal, and I don't know. I mean, we're trying all types of things because he's so different. So, yeah, we're always doing trial and error.
But the intentional dating is incredibly important because that's when we get to go out, and what I tell people to go out on dates, you can only talk about the kids for like the first 5 minutes, and then that's got to be, you know, it's like, okay, no more talking about the kids, because we need to stay connected as individuals, and you know, and if we don't make it part of our normal routine, it falls by the wayside.
It does, and I mean, they're not, like you said, 18 years, they're not going to hopefully be with us forever. That's not what we're raising, is people who have to rely on forever. We want them to go out there and to do their thing and to be who they were created to be, and to sit there and, you know, baby them forever is not good. And one day they are going to go off and it's going to be you two. And so are you just going to stare at each other like, who are we anymore? And I think that does happen a lot. And so when it is hard to get out of the house and go on an intentional date, and that's even, I mean, we try to go once a week. If we go longer than that, we can start to kind of feel it in the relationship. Uh-huh. Like, we're kind of irritating each other, and we always know, okay, it's been a few days since our date. So at the early stages, when they were babies, we would take them to family members' houses or somewhere that was kind of free childcare, because like I said, we didn't have a ton of money, so luckily we did have some help. And sometimes we would even just come back to the house and have sex that wasn't going to be interrupted by an infant.
Right.
So
you can concentrate on each other instead of waiting for the baby to cry, right?
Right, because that's not sexy. So
no.
Sometimes that's what we would do. We would take them away, and then we'd come back to the house and get food, and then just hang around the house, or, you know, sometimes we would go to eat. But it doesn't have to be like, you know, these great dates of, you know, elaborate things. It's just spending one-on-one time with each other. No one's talking to you. No one's, you know, crying or needing a snack or anything. It's just you two, and you can talk and
where you don't hear mommy, daddy. It's just a time for you to be, you know, your individual selves and connect as a couple. And I cannot tell people how important that is to do that regularly. And sometimes it's just, like you said, even if you just go for a walk in the park, I mean, it doesn't have to be dinner and a movie. In fact, my recommendation for dates is not to do that. I mean, movies are great, but there's no interaction. And, you know, dinner's nice, but it can be expensive. And, you know, somebody had suggested just go out for dessert, or, you know, you don't need the whole dinner. And it's just about spending time together as a couple, because you want that connection to last.
Yes.
You know, like you said, when the kids leave home, you still want to be connected, because that's another time when a lot of marriages fall apart, because they haven't been taking care of it.
Yes. And staying off your phone, too, I think is a big one. I mean, it's easy to be like, oh, I finally have 2 seconds, and no one's going to need anything. I'm just going to get on Facebook and scroll for a while. And it's like, soon enough, it's been, you know, 30 minutes. And you're like, what the heck? So it's like, make sure, too, that is intentional time. Like, within this season of my life right now, you have to be so intentional, or it's going to just slip away. Because time, I mean, someone's always going to need your time.
Exactly.
So, if you're not intentional about who you're giving it to, then it's just going to disappear. And that also includes, like, your calendars. Like, if you're doing too much, you know, separate or just as a whole family, but you're committed to so many things, you know, maybe it's time to scale it back and make sure that there are still evenings where it's just you guys or just your family at home, and you guys can kind of relax and reconnect at home. Because I think, too, we are often really busy, and then there goes more time.
Exactly. So, Hannah, this has been wonderful, and I want to have you let people know where they can find this article and any other tips that you have, because I know that you specialize in, you know, helping moms from a practical standpoint, because that's what we need. We need somebody to say, okay, try this. And if that doesn't work, try something else. So where can they find you?
Well, right now I'm on Facebook, and it's Hannah Sutherland. That's Sutherland, dash writer. That's just on Facebook. And then my blog will be going live shortly. So that will be hannashomefront.com. But right now, if you put that in, you're not going to find anything. So just strictly Facebook. That article is on another blog that I, like, guest wrote for, but I also had put that on my Facebook page. And then I'm updating that here as we as I go along. So
Because I found it on and on Sheila Gregoire Ray's blog. So it's, you know, guys, it's really hard. I know my kids are adults, but I was there. It's really hard to put your marriage front and center when you've got a demanding, dependent little person keeping you on your toes 24/7. The squeaky wheel will always get your attention and your time. So if you want your marriage to last once your little bundle of joy leaves home, you need to take care of it now. Nothing survives on neglect. So the question is, what will help you make your marriage as much a priority as you've made your children? And that's not to ignore your children, believe me, but you've got to be willing to make some time for your marriage. So hopefully this has been helpful, and hopefully you keep listening to the show and getting more ideas about how to have a great marriage. And so until next week, stay loving.